Hey, this is Sunny. If you're listening to this, you're listening on the iTunes feed. This is about Moonfall, which I think might be out of theaters already. Who knows? But you would have been a little bit closer if you'd, you know, signed up for the Patreon, would have gotten it more timely fashion, et cetera, et cetera. This week on the Patreon at subbeacon.com, we're going to be talking about Nightmare Alley, Oscar nominated for Best Picture, starring Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe, a bunch of great people, Cate Blanchett, everybody loves her. So go sign up for the Patreon. You'll get that on Friday. We're going to have a very special surprise bonus episode on Monday. I don't want to spoil it. I want to spoil that, but you're going to want to listen to that. So go sign up with Patreon, subbeacon.com. It's as little as $1 a month, and you'll get access to all sorts of good stuff. And we will be happy to see you over there.
If you're watching this, then you know by now a huge problem is heading our way. An emergency meeting is being called at our usual place immediately. Free bagels.
I've made a shocking discovery. I need you to get me in touch with NASA immediately.
Well, NASA and I aren't really on speaking terms these days.
Oh, that'll change. When you tell them that the moon is out of orbit.
There's no need to panic.
Not crazy!
Why are they lying about all this?
It's too late to stop.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis along with Jonathan V. Last and Sonny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends. And don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what's going on?
Vic, are you okay? You sound a little low energy there, buddy.
Vic, are you okay? Are you having a stroke?
I just came directly from the palm. JVL, what's going on?
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be one of those shows.
Friends, that's okay. I'm all right.
Okay.
JVL.
Wow. Hey, how about we all watch Under the Silver Lake together now?
Yeah.
That's usually how I watch these movies. JVL, what's happening?
Okay. So you guys know this story, but I'm going to share it anyway because I would like to crowdsource some advice, some social advice. I'm not great with people. I'm not everybody's friend. I go to a screening of Moonfall at the Alamo Drafthouse. I purchase my ticket for the 12 o'clock show at 11 o'clock in the morning. So 1 hour before showtime. It is in The Big Show, their giant auditorium with 220 seats in it, I think. At the time of my choosing my seat, there are precisely zero seats taken.
So
no, nobody.
It is empty house.
It is empty house. Empty house. So I pick my seat.
Where'd you pick? What seat did you pick?
Dead middle back row.
So the last row.
Dead center.
You picked the, okay.
And I get to the Alamo at 12, because it's 12:05 show. And I walk in, and I walk up to the back row, and there is one other patron. And he has selected the seat immediately next to mine. So confused, I begin walking down the aisle, and I look at him, and he looks at me, and I say to him, "That's the seat you chose?" And he sort of was like, "Yeah, yeah."
Did he say the same to you, like, "That's the seat you chose"? Like, did he know the other seat was taken?
He clearly, he clearly realized. He was like, And so I sat down initially, like, four seats away from him. And when the Alamo server came up to take my order, I said, "Yeah, do you mind if I don't sit in my assigned seat so I have to sit next to this asshole?" And the server says to me, he goes, "Dude, you're the only two people in the show. You're not together?" I said, No. "No, we're not. I picked that seat when there was no other person, and he went and just decided to pick the seat next to me so we could be seat buddies or something."
I asked you
a
question.
And the server looks at me and he goes, "Really? Dude, that's fucked up." So Did he say fucked up?
Did he say?
I think he said messed up.
Okay, but I asked you a question. You didn't reply to that, which was he wearing a trench coat?
No, but he was a...
Describe the person to
us. Extra large popcorn.
Describe.
Schlubby, white, middle-aged. I don't know, like the kind of guy who would go to a bad Roland Emmerich movie at 12 o'clock on a weekday.
So not far off from you or me, JBL.
I am telling you, this guy looked 50 times less socially capable than I am.
Oof.
Yeah.
So like a troll, like a cave troll.
He's yeah. like a comic book shop guy.
Like a dwarf.
So I settled down, you know, like 10 or 15 seats away from him. And the whole time, I'm in this movie theater, not in my dead middle seat.
I'm sorry, did you stay in the same row?
I stayed in the same row because I didn't want him behind me where I couldn't have an eye on him.
You want to be, that's smart. You want your head on a swivel.
Right. And
you might feel something.
I just wanted to punch him. Is that wrong?
I think that's reasonable. I think
what sort of sicko does that?
I think it's one thing. It's one thing if they picked the dead middle seat, like one row in front of you. That would be annoying, but at least I get it.
I would understand that because it's the middle.
You want to sit in the middle. You want to sit towards the back. I get that. But choosing the seat directly next to you is the sort of thing that somebody who is raised on Reddit or 4chan does. It's asocial, it's antisocial in a way that is designed to mimic sociableness, if that makes sense, right? It's like, I just want to watch the movie with someone. That's not weird or odd, man. You're the weird one. You don't want to sit next to me.
How close is the seat next to yours? Is there a little divider? Because some of those seats are like next to each other, but not really. Is it like next to each other?
No, they have dividers. They each
were
have
you
their
sharing?
Own arm.
Was this is crucial, yes. Alamo? Yes. This is crucial, Alamo. Question: were you sharing a table, or did you have
each had her own? Each had her own arm table. Okay. I think you could reasonably construe something like this as an act of aggression.
I think it's absolutely an act of aggression. I think it is. I think totally.
It is the kind of thing.
Did you say aggression or affection?
It is the kind of thing which I think the proper social response should be that if you're the guy who bought the seat first, right? So if you know, and you show up and this guy's there, then you should be legally allowed to punch that person in the face.
Oh, Were you within touching distance of each other?
Yeah. I mean, had I taken that seat?
Yes.
Yeah, we could have held hands.
I don't know how you would codify this sort of thing, but I would find it hard to find against you in a civil litigation if you were to just like, before the movie starts, just sucker punch him and knock him out so you don't have to worry about him.
I was offended that I had to share an auditorium with him, frankly. Misfit.
Was it just the two of you for the
whole
movie?
Literally nobody else the whole movie.
I have a question. All right. So were you able to actually watch the movie or were you so focused on him?
You know, I'm not gonna lie to you. That interaction may have colored my response to the film Moonfall. And if you guys both tell me that this is the greatest movie Roland Emmerich has ever made, then I will go back and watch it again in a neutral condition.
I don't think you got to worry about that.
Is that not going to happen?
You do not have to worry.
Vic, are you going to make it through the show, buddy?
I don't know. Sonny, what about you? What's happening? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
What have you had to drink today?
I've been drinking since yesterday into today into tomorrow. It's been one of these days. It's been one of these weeks. It's very stressful.
Vic, we call that out. We call that a bender.
Yeah.
You're officially on a bender. Have you been drinking for 36 straight hours?
Basically, I had a very long lunch yesterday that started at 12, didn't end until about 3 or 4, and then took an intermission and then began again. And then I had today, I had martinis yesterday and then some Amaro and some other things. And then today it was old fashions and then a lot of red wine. But I'll get to me in a second.
Is there an occasion?
Yeah, a friend of ours was in town, Connor Sweeney, listener to the Subbeacon, in fact, and Goldfarb wanted to, you know, a friend of ours. And so Goldfarb and Continetti and Eliana. So we had a nice big dinner. I'll get to that and I'll get to me in a second. Sonny, what about you? What's happening with you?
Not a whole lot's happening with me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to skip ahead to my drinking. I am not drinking again until tomorrow. I'm not drinking for 3 hours.
Honestly.
That's Vic. Vic's promise.
That's me, 3 hours.
We went to our favorite local Mexican joint, Emilio's Mexican Kitchen, last night, and I got margaritas to go because they have great frozen margaritas. Ooh. They're just wonderful. But I didn't drink mine last night because I wanted to go to the gym this morning. I wasn't up for drinking, so I put it in the freezer. And I'm drinking it now. And I was gonna warn people, like, if I start slurring a little bit, or if my tongue gets a little frozen, I sound a little soft and, you know, slow. That's a function of the margarita. They're very strong. They're frozen. But I thankfully Vic has shown up, not half in the bag, not in the bag, but like in six bags. So I'm okay.
Five and a half. So here, I knew this was going to happen, by the way, right? Because I said, I couldn't say.
You knew what was going
to
happen.
That I had to go out to dinner, and then I had to go home to immediately tape this. But I you know, Connor comes up, he's up from Florida, so I said, I've got to say hi to him. And so I said, I got to do this, but I'm not going to have enough time to prepare any material for the show. So do you know what I did? I tasked my joke writing staff to come up with my material for me. For today's show, aka the assistant and associate editors of the Washington Free Beacon. So as busy as they were, I said, I don't have time. You listen to the show, come with my material. And guess what? They came up with jokes. They came
Look
up
at
with
that.
Jokes.
There's actual cards.
So here we go. Okay.
You're like Dave Letterman.
That's right. Okay. Here we go. And I only glanced at these. Oh, well, thanks for asking about my birthday. It was my birthday last week, so I went for a lovely romantic dinner with the love of my life. And then halfway through, my wife called.
Oh!
Hermione Granger.
It's so you have to tell the listeners that I actually am holding index cards
like
Letterman.
Index cards.
And I'm throwing them. I'm throwing them.
He's
okay.
Like,
okay. Here we go.
I'm doing like Norm Macdonald doing David Letterman right now.
that's exactly it. Okay, here we go. They spent several days working on this, apparently. During the recent Omicron surge, I found myself at a work function where I and a female coworker enjoyed each other's company, shared a few drinks at an Uber home together. The morning after, I received a text that she tested positive. I replied, "Just for COVID, right?" Oh no, I'm going to skip that one. Okay.
No. Yes. You are not allowed to skip anything. Vic,
you can't skip. No skips. If it's too bad, we'll bleep it.
Okay, here we go.
We're not gonna bleep anything.
How do these people do this for me? They work for me. My doctor is worried about my GI tract. Okay, I got to stop there. I'm not going to finish this.
Keep going. How dare you?
And told me he may have to perform a fecal transplant, a procedure which places healthy donor feces into the intestines of an unhealthy host. When asked why, my doctor said, "We're just tired of seeing the same old shit."
Okay.
Here's one. I'm reading this here. The video sharing platform Market is expected to reach upwards of $10 billion in the next 5 years. That includes the websites YouTube, Vimeo, and Daily Motion, or as I call it in my room, Daily Lotion. Come on, that's terrible.
That's a good one.
Oh, Daily Lotion. I have cards all over the floor. Yes, Sonny.
That's not the only thing. Are you going to give each of these fabulous young employees?
They're working hard. The staff.
I'm not saying you should buy them a bottle of bourbon or anything, like a 4-piece McNuggets.
I'm going to do something. I'll take them out. You know what? I'm going to take them out. And wow, somebody is ringing our doorbell in our house at 9:44. That's not good.
The best part about this is that Vic's going to get murdered.
I know. Well, you know, but it's one of these things because I'm on video.
Vic,
so.
I need permission from you right now. If you get murdered, call. Can we post the show?
Yes.
Can we post with your death screams?
Do most downloads ever.
Excellent. Bonus episode, though. They have to pay for this
one. Yeah, that has to be on the Patreon, though.
That's
okay. Well,
really,
yeah, obviously. I mean, Subbeacon, go to subbeacon.com and sign up for the Patreon.
I mean,
so you can hear
delivery
Vic be
murdered. People do it. I'm in the basement.
What did you leave in the Uber? Is that what it is?
No. I think I have everything.
You drove home?
No. I did take an Uber. You know what? For once in my life, JVL, I was responsible. Anyway, props to the joke writing staff. I thought that was going to really bomb. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Moonfall landed in second place with $9.9 million, followed by Spider-Man, No
Barely
Way Home.
In second place.
At $9.5 million, and in first place, Jackass Forever, Sonny's favorite movie, with 23.2 million. Sing 2 is finally out of the top three. Box
first 4-star movie of the year, Jackass Forever.
Thoughts.
Jackass Forever did about as well as the original Jackass, which has to be a mild disappointment to Paramount, except for the fact that everybody is still grading on the COVID curve, so you know it did okay on that scale.
Well, that movie must have cost $700,000 to make.
I mean, well, that's the thing is that they made it for I believe 50% of what Jackass 3 cost. So they spent like $10 million on it.
Oh,
they spent
gosh.
they spent almost
what
no money
deal.
On it. Look, I've talked about this on Across the Movie Aisle. So people who listen to that, you don't want to hear me repeat myself, but I love these movies. I have a strong kinship for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I remember like one of this is the 100% true story. One of my happiest memories in college, first year, University of Virginia. We're in the dorms. We're all kind of like sipping our vodka and orange juices out of our solo cups, like you know, illicitly. Because we're all 18, whatever. Watching the episode of Jackass where they were doing, I think it was 50 shots of eggnog in 1 hour. And just like, they got through like the first six or seven and everybody was fine. And then one of the guys started throwing up at eight and he would take a shot and throw up and then just take more shots and throw. I mean,
JVL is your kind of movie.
There's actually very little of that in Jackass Forever. There's very little of the vomit or poop or animal matter related materials. There's very little of that in this one. But I just remember watching that and like falling out of my chair. I was laughing so hard. We were trying to stop each other from laughing because we were afraid the RA was going to come in and be like, "What's going on in there?" But
you get busted.
And the whole show was like that. Every episode was like that on a certain level.
Kaczynski felt about technology is the way I felt about that era of MTV. And the
totally
Jackassers and the Real Worlders and the Road Rulers.
No, but that's different. Those are very, very different.
David, Spring Breakers.
I would have
basically done like Hostel / Saw.
I was so scared that JVL. I was so scared that you and Sonny were going to insist I have to go to see Jackass Forever in the theater.
No. The Jackass is a wholly different thing from
all the same.
From Real World or
stupid people with no talent getting famous.
No, but that's really not what Jackass is. Jackass is a simulacrum of young male friendship. That's like what it is. And
it's nothing like that.
You don't do
if
that,
you are
JVL.
Unfamiliar
you don't do that stuff
with them. how this sort of thing works amongst friends. I have to say I feel very sorry for you for not being able to appreciate the ribaldry of the Jackass crew. The whole thing is the other thing that's very important about it is that it is an actual group of friends. It's like a core group of friends who are just like messing around together, as opposed to Real World or Road Rules, where it's like strangers coming together and they're all kind of dicks to each other. Like there's a very real and
non-mean-spirited aspect to all of this that is a very pure, I think, distillation of, again, a very real and very affectionate type of friendship. I mean,
I understand you boys on the tennis team were when you were down and then down at Mr. Jefferson's University with you're like the most urbane, fastidious guy I know. I can't imagine that this is what your male friendships look like.
It's exactly what they look like. Doing shots until we throw up and then punching each other in the nuts. I don't understand.
This is not what the McDonald's Society was like.
No,
is it?
He's trolling. He doesn't mean that.
I'm not trolling. This is not
punching
this is
each
not,
other in the nuts. What?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's not like we were, you know, all doing it all the time. It's not like we were, you know, lining each other up and just, you know, whapping each other. But like the idea, I don't understand how you could have existed in a locker room and never dealt with like random aggression towards your nether regions, JVL.
Locker rooms for an awful lot of time. Literally never once. I think my high school friendships were a lot like Vic's, like the McDonald's Society. Like everybody has like a crew like that.
Yeah.
And they're like your buddies who you hang out with and you go to your weddings with and you like.
They do stupid stuff from time to time. Antics. We do antics. Yeah, definitely. But I would say, you know.
Antics. Mm. This antics. Jackass is just a variety antics. Of antic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a variety of antics. Anyway,
to the sun.
Jackass, wonderful show and movie. Everyone should go see it in theaters. That's the best.
The 2023 Oscars. It should be a contender.
Rolling in the aisles. I was while I was watching it, and everybody in my theater was rolling. Like I saw it with like seven. Probably middle-aged male critics, mostly. I would describe that as the cohort of audience.
And they
we
loved
were
it.
All just hysterical. We were laughing. We were all rolling.
Well, that is not what we are.
It's
the
Three Stooges of my generation.
We are not, however, discussing, and that is not our movie of the week. Our movie of the week is Moonfall. Is it directed by Roland Emmerich or produced
and
by?
And written.
Everything,
and
the trifecta.
And produced by
yes, starring Emmerich. Starring Patrick Wilson.
Starring Patrick Wilson.
Halle Berry in her great comeback role. And
that guy who looks like Dime Store Ricky Gervais.
I was going to say, no, it's Samwell Tarwell. Samwell,
it's the guy,
from Game of Thrones.
Is
it Samwell?
Samwell Tarly.
Samwell Tarly, who became a maester. Yeah. How about this movie about the moon? Sonny, how about a big boy review? Before you go, I'm going to go upstairs. I got to figure out what that was. Who rings the bell?
All right, you go. All right, we'll put in a little. We'll put in a little elevator music
here. Yeah. Just put it on pause. Hold on.
All right, he's gone. Do you think there's any chance that he survives this show, JVL?
I mean, I don't know that he's going to stay awake the whole time.
Do you think he's going to?
Are you watching his eyes like close while he's talking?
I realized immediately something was wrong.
The minute he opened his mouth.
The minute he started talking. And I was like, oh, he's clearly inebriated. We need to get a full breakdown of what he actually did. I'm leaving all this in, by the way.
This used to be fun. When Vic got bombed, he used to be like fun, gregarious Vic. This is like tired, sad Vic. It's very...
No, it's not tired, sad Vic. What it is Vic trying to be professional. It's Vic he's trying to be a pro and work through it, but we're not going to let him do that.
I want fun Vic. I want fun drunk Vic.
Well,
have I ever told you about the picture of Vic at my wedding?
No.
So there is an after party at my wedding after the reception, and I don't know whose room it takes place at. It takes place at somebody's hotel room in the hotel everyone is staying at. And I later see a picture of Vic sitting on my bed next to my sister, my baby sister, both of them totally bombed.
Oh, at the
Vic
wedding?
Like peering down her shirt.
That's good.
Those are good times.
And it was fun, Vic. That was
Wyndham,
fun, Vic.
Bristol? The Wyndham Bristol? No, what? That they changed names.
Anyway,
JVL, by the way, you called it. Okay, we can tape. We can resume. I'm sorry.
No, we're not.
That.
We're still recording.
Oh, we've been
recording
the entire time.
Yeah.
You called it. It was the Uber driver. But it was not something that actually belonged to me. It was like some gray, like a briefcase thing with a Financial Times. I'm like, no, that's not mine. But he thought it was.
So that was your mistress's.
Yeah, that was my Gumar's. Okay.
Was in the.
Gumar. That was it. It was my Gumar's.
You brought.
I'm saying Jersey.
He brought the pair of lacy underwear in and said, "Your husband left this in the car. What would you like to do with it?
How did he do that to me,
Kate?
Asgard. How could
somehow,
you do that to me,
Asgard? Somehow he learned your wife's name.
That's right. Those jokes are not the jokes I read. Not far from the truth. Okay.
All right. No, we were just saying that, Vic, you're doing a very good job. We understand. We appreciate that you're trying to be professional right now, but just let it go, man. Just let it rip. Okay. Just come on, man. Just let it go.
Once
man.
In your
just
life,
do,
you can just
let it. You can do whatever you want over there,
are
man.
You there?
Just this is a safe space.
I can't see him.
I think he died. I passed out. Sorry. Okay. You were going to give an amazing review of this movie, Sonny.
Was I now?
Yeah.
Moonfall, written and directed by Roland Emmerich, starring Patrick Wilson, Halle Berry, the guy from Game of Thrones, a random Chinese woman.
because it's financed by Tencent.
From Tencent.
Well, we could talk. We can talk about that in a second because I'm fascinated by that. I'm fascinated by not necessarily the funding by Tencent or no, it wasn't Tencent. It was like Huey Brothers or whatever,
Tencent,
which is a division of Tencent.
Tencent was in the credits.
But there's something else that's very interesting, and I bet JBL picked up on it, but we'll see.
Funny, you don't think I picked up on Moonfall.
Well, I don't think you would have. It's not something that would have tripped your wires.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, Moonfall. I loved this movie because we don't get too many hard sci-fi features where like the immutable laws of science dictate the action, and you know we get a bunch of pikers like Christopher Nolan and Denis Villeneuve in Interstellar and Arrival, who have these like, you know, oh, we're gonna just use the power of love to transverse. No, I want a movie about hard scientific
mega structures
and what would happen,
which I've never
what would
heard
happen,
about before.
What would happen if the Earth was actually a giant constructed sphere? If the moon was a giant constructed sphere circling the Earth that was put here by aliens who are actually humans, but from many years ago, to propagate the species because an AI wiped them out. And then what would happen if that superstructure, that megastructure, slowly crashed into Earth? What would happen to the gravity and the waves? And the defining moment in this film is when
the moon hits the top of the mountain and knocks it off.
No, that was awesome. That was awesome. That wasn't the defining moment.
That's
though.
How
the
it works,
moment,
by the way.
The defining moment of this film was when the two guys who work for NASA are trying to get back to the helicopter.
Don't you get it? Your laws don't function anymore because now we're dealing with a megastructure.
We're dealing with moon energy. So there's a moment in this film, which again, the plot of the film is that the Earth is crashing into the moon. The moon is crashing into the Earth because it is a superstructure that has been taken over by an artificial intelligence, and it is out of orbit. It's going to crash into us. Doesn't really matter. Point is, there's a moment in this film where as the last rocket mission to save Earth is about to take off, two science guys from NASA are trying to get to a helicopter so they can take off. And because the moon is so close, the gravity is all messed up. And they're like hopping like they're on the moon.
Yes.
They're like hop, yes, hop, hop. And they get to the helicopter. They get in and they're taking off. And then a wave just fucking wrecks them. Just destroys them.
They didn't
and
survive
kills
that?
All of
I,
them. Oh,
I,
no.
I thought
they
made
dead.
It out.
They're all dead.
I love that
segment so much because it's so absurd and so ridiculous. And you're like, oh, they make it. Oh, no, they're dead. They're still dead. They die.
How about the space shuttle taking off through the wave?
Yes.
Well, the space shuttle
is underwater. It was underwater
with the booster, like getting kind of knocked by the wave, but it still goes. It's fine. I love that they're like, we can't take off. We don't have an engine, and they're like, we got to do it anyway. They just do it. The movie's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous film, and Roland Emmerich is known for making big, ridiculous, dumb sci-fi films. And I actually really enjoyed this film because it's dumb. It's dumb and it accepts that it's dumb and it's fine. Patrick Wilson plays a disgraced astronaut who, as the film opens, he is the only person who has seen the AI that is attacking the moon, and everybody accuses him of being a crazy person. We find out later via Donald
Sutherland.
Sutherland.
One day
that,
at work.
that he really? Donald Sutherland is putting everything into that.
Does he make the trailer? Really?
He's in the trailer.
You know, he's
Donald Sutherland is putting everything into that role. By the way, yeah. he's like
you know, didn't you
I'm
expect him
it.
To say one of two things? I expected him to be like Shadow from Backdraft, you know, my shadow. Or
JFK.
He was like General X.
It's the General JFK. X. It's the J. He's like the old fat JFK General X. In a wheelchair.
Yeah.
The movie is big and dumb, and it is like it is what it really is a conglomeration of every disaster film all in one. It is the asteroid crashing into the Earth movie, a la Armageddon or Deep Impact.
Tidal wave movie.
It is the tidal wave movie. It is the building in peril movie, a la Towering Inferno. Right. It is the climate change movie, a la 2012 or whatever.
Also fire, right? The big fire problems, right? And earthquakes. Mm-hmm.
Flooding of the coastal inland. Like, it is all of these movies in one. It's like Roland Emmerich was like, all right, you guys don't like original movies anymore with one disaster. I'm going to give you all the disasters at once.
Yeah, there's an earthquake in there.
It's the Voltron of disaster movies.
It's the biggest disaster. It's the biggest box office disaster of his career. He will not get to make another movie like this. and that is there is an interesting discussion to be had here about how audience tastes have shifted from the Roland Emmerich Independence Day Stargate 2012 sort of movie.
That was good.
To the MCU, basically. Like, the MCU has completely replaced the comic book universe of films has essentially monopolized the entire big budget action adventure space, with the exception of like the Fast and Furious movies, and those are basically comic book movies at this point. The thing I was curious if JVL caught was, in addition to all of the China service, again with the like, oh, China's the only one with the lander,
quote unquote, our Chinese friends.
And the Chinese student the au pair. Who was there for some reason.
The alluring au pair.
Did you also notice the multiple shout-outs to Elon Musk?
Yes!
Many, many shout-outs to Elon Musk.
What would Elon do, and like the name of the company being on the billboard, and also like the fact that the refueling station is in. So I'm actually curious if Elon funded this at all. This was just like a play to appeal to him.
Trying to get know what it is. I bet it was trying to get him to tweet about it. Because if they need all the help tweets about you, then,
send them some Dogecoin.
The help.
Lots of I found it a little weird to have so much Lexus product placement alongside lots of China stuff, because traditionally China and Japan don't get along so hot, right?
Is Lexus owned by Japan?
Japanese.
It's Toyota.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You didn't know that Lexus is Toyota?
I did not know that.
Oh, it's Toyota's luxury brand.
Wait, it's Honda's is Acura, is that right?
And then Infiniti is Nissan.
And Hyundai is Genesis.
Yes.
I knew Infiniti and Acura. I did not know that about Lexus.
Yep. Lexus was the first of them, actually. Yeah. Okay. Victorino?
Yes.
You awake?
I got to tell you something.
You didn't see it, did you?
No. A similar thing happened to me. There were three other dudes in the theater with me. And one of them sat next to me. And we had a great time. And I went out to dinner with him afterwards. And his name was Paul Crookston.
What?
Yes, mind blown. The great
was
Paul
this
Crookston.
A total accident, or did you guys plan it?
No, we were trying to get together for lunch, but I can't do lunch because he can't do lunch because he teaches. And so I said, I got to go see the stupid movie tonight. And, you know, it's at Courthouse.
How dare you?
Thank you.
And, great movie.
And he says, hey, actually, I can join you. I said, let's go. So I see, because where are you sitting? I said, I pick all the way in the back because I just want to get out. I don't care, but we can sit anywhere because I'm pretty sure there's nobody there. So we go in, and
is Paul with you right now under the desk?
So We wait. So there's some dude sitting in front. We sit behind him because it's in the middle area, but towards the back, right? And it's great. It's great to sit, and it's nice. It's always great to see Paul. Except, so Paul gets this, like he wanted to get, he was thirsty. He went, hey, I need some sugar, he says. So he gets like icy, like a Slurpee. I don't know what's the difference between an icy and a Slurpee. He gets this icy thing.
It's a branding thing.
Right. Okay. Okay. Fine. He gets that. It's the cherry one. Okay. Fine. That's cool. We're sitting there, right? And it's just, you know, a couple dudes and then me and Paul sitting next to each other in the back. It's dark. Midway through the movie, he runs out of, like, you know, where you hit that low point in the Slurpee. So all of a sudden it's just. And then he's got to jam that straw in. So all of a sudden you just hear this. And then followed by more slurping. And then more jabbing. And then more slurping. I said, Paul, I said, you know, they probably think it's happening. We might as well just do it. Might as well just. Here it is. Here it is.
Okay. That's, yeah, I just left it out.
That's.
Like Tommy Lee. Well,
that's, well, like, that's Tommy why Lee, had, like Tommy Lee. Sonny, you seem why, scandalized. That, Sonny's that's speechless.
Why you get, well, no, that's why you get the popcorn.
That's. Didn't need it. Didn't need
right
it.
Under, just right
I'm
up
sitting next to Paul, and it's great. But all of a sudden, there's this jamming noise from the straw. Because you know how you gotta move it around.
You gotta pack it.
You know how it works.
You gotta loosen it up
because it just it's like hollow otherwise.
Sure.
And then there's more slurping, and then there's more jamming. And I just thought, you know what? They just think it's probably happening, so let's just do it. So that was it. I'm teasing. It was great to have Paul sit next to me because he could explain the movie to me. And most of the time, he was just laughing at the absurdity of this movie. But he was able. I was like, "What is happening?" He's just telling me everything. So he walked me through it. But it was this movie. This movie did not do well in the quadrants. I'll tell you that.
How was it confusing?
I don't know.
Like, what was happening in this movie that left you befuddled?
Well, what is happening? Who is on the moon? There's two aliens on the moon. There's the aliens who built it, and then the AI thing that's fighting against it. What is happening? What is that?
Only the bad robot.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's the black AI goop swarm is evil. And
it was like Venom or something.
There's like a computer operating system.
No, you know what it was? It was the microbots from Big Hero 6.
I never.
The thing's literally the microbots from Big Hero 6.
I thought Big Hero 6 might have been an old substandard episode. No,
we didn't
anyway,
do that
before our time.
So it didn't do well. Obviously, it gets an overall score of a D. I think the best thing
long.
It got. Oh yeah, duration is a D. It was 2 hours and 10 minutes. Plot is an F. It was so stupid. Sex, nudity is an F. For PG-13, there is nothing. Although Halle Berry, she looked like she just walked off a set of Boomerang. She's so young.
She looked pretty good.
I don't know if they did something, but she looked younger than I've seen her like in other movies.
Moonfall's 2 hours. Moonfall is 2 hours. It is not 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Go to IMDb. 2:10.
No, that's not. IMDb is frequently wrong. It's like it was like an hour 58.
But you're always complaining about big CGI battles. This is a movie with a lot of practical effects in it. You don't give it any credit for that.
First of all, they
built that wave.
It was very interstellar in the idea of where they're living on.
Take that back.
A planet, you know,
you fucking take that back.
You know what I'm talking about, Sonny? Remember at the end of Interstellar, he's living on the station and the thing is like an ark and that's what's inside. And I understand the moon is big, but you forget how big the moon is. That it's hollow. It's hollow. Therefore, everything you understand about the moon is wrong. Okay, the whole subplot of the family trying to get to, I thought they were getting to NORAD, but apparently not. They were just getting somewhere. I thought was completely unnecessary. The carjacking son, I'm just not feeling it there. And of course the other kid and the Chinese nanny, right? There's that.
What did you think of her, Vic?
What was that?
What did you think of her?
She was in. Oh, Paul thought she was hot. Let me tell you something. There's no question about that. He was like really into that. And then, of course, the villains. Who are these villains? They were chasing. There's a car chase as the moon.
Hill people.
What?
Hill people. That's what they were.
That's
what it
was.
Do you notice the heat? Do you notice the teeth?
Yes. And like, okay, the world is ending. The moon is right there. The moon is right there. And yet you're going to chase this car around for. And Michael Pena,
they had to get the air. They had to get the air. Michael Peña. Michael Peña. The fascinating thing about this movie is that Michael Peña dies of asphyxiation.
Does
and
he?
And then literally 10 seconds later, there's like oxygen
if
everywhere.
If he could have held his breath a little longer, it came back.
The worst part of this film is the kid who plays Patrick Wilson's son.
Yes.
I don't know how to describe him without being offensive. So I'll just say he seemed intellectually underdeveloped.
Now, JVL. He looks like a JVL. Heath Ledger knockoff, mm-hmm. like somebody trying to look like young mm-hmm. teenage heartthrob Heath Ledger.
What? Yeah, but Heath Ledger could act.
No, even but with JVL, young, I see young, what young I know what JVL I know what JVL is saying.
I'm just saying that he had there was like it, when you looked into his eyes, they were dead
vapid.
Eyes. They were
it was evacuous.
There was nothing
not
behind
a lot going
them.
On. Yeah.
There was nothing behind them. He's clearly a dumb person.
Except
who is,
for
is,
when the AI is acting through him. Yeah, it's very much Contact. Remember in Contact, the alien appears in the form of the father.
Dad.
In this
dad,
case,
yeah.
and
like
in,
Fuzz Aldrin.
Fuzz Aldrin and the mother in the wheelchair.
Yeah,
who is suddenly very brilliant, JVL. I know. Okay, so you were not.
You didn't run through the. Do the quadrants. Do the quadrants
I did,
right.
I did the quadrants.
He did them.
I did them.
No, he just said it's a D. It's
no,
a D.
He did. He said he couldn't follow
plot
it.
Plot is and... an F. Duration is a D. Action and violence is a B. And sex nudity is an F. Even for PG-13, there was
how
nothing.
How was that a B?
You know what? Because he wanted to see the au pair. Because he wanted to see
no,
the
but
au
I'm saying,
pair.
I'm
if
saying
the
I,
au
no,
pair
saying,
had
what
taken
you,
off
what,
her
what
shirt,
are you saying
he
for
would have given
or,
a B+.
You should. I should have given an A.
Action should be an A. Action should be an A.
Lame.
Vic,
when it hits the top of the mountain.
Vic, flying a space shuttle through a giant tsunami doesn't get you an A for action, then I don't know
what
does.
It's not good action.
Quadrants are a lie, once again.
It's not a
quadrants are a lie.
It's just not good action. It's just not good.
So Patrick Wilson is like if Will Arnett had been born 10% different in the face. So that he had the face of a leading man
instead
of a comic actor.
Yeah, sure.
But also at the same time, like the devil took away all of his acting talent because Patrick Wilson is a bad actor.
Oh, I like Patrick Wilson.
No, don't say that. You got to see that Little Children movie.
And
so
here's the thing.
I
am not against the idea of a disaster movie which sells itself as the moon is falling, but then it
moon
turns
falls.
Out that it's really a space alien movie. That's, you know what? I'm along for that ride. And
it's basically what you wanted Greenland to be.
Basically. And I am along for the ride on Roland Emmerich style movies. I'm along for the idea of you have an A, B, and C plot. Where, you know, we're following multiple points of view and they're each fighting their own war and you're, you know. Moonfall is really sloppily made. And, I mean, by Roland Emmerich's own standards. For me, the single best of all the Roland Emmerich movies is Day After Tomorrow. Day After Tomorrow, I think, is a really pretty tightly made movie where the pacing is exactly right. We spend just enough time setting things up before things go bad. We have a pretty clearly defined sense of the timeline as things are going bad. And then we get into the real crisis with our A, B, and C plots. You sort of understand what's going on. The time scale of Moonfall is just a jumbled mess in ways that could have been fixed literally with just chirons, mm-hmm. right? You look, and it says, you know, day three,
right.
12
right.
days until moonfall.
Right. So we have no idea.
Right?
We have no idea.
I mean, and instead, we get weird scenes which aren't required, right? So we have a scene of the space shuttle Endeavor being pulled down a street in Los Angeles by a tow truck. So that they can take it to Vandenberg Air Force Base and then start fueling it. When the answer is no. You just say, hey, we have one in cold storage.
Boom.
Right.
There it is.
Actually, we always kept one in Area 51. right? You just whatever, you know, and do it that way. It doesn't have to be in Vandenberg.
We had an experimental one in Area 51.
Right. And the time doesn't, I mean, we have scenes where you think to yourself, oh, this is taking place an hour after the previous scene, but it's actually like 4 days after the previous scene. And so with all of the time dilation wrong in terms of how the story is being told, you sort of feel at sea and you don't feel like you're being pulled through the disaster, which I think is kind of crucial to these disaster style movies, right? There's always a ticking clock and you're being pulled relentlessly through from the moment before people realize it's going wrong to the moment where people do. Like this, one of the images in the trailer is a crazy man saying something, you know, like we have to keep your eyes on the rising prophets of the stars or something, right? And I thought to myself when I saw the trailer, oh, that'll be an interesting. We're going to get a little bit of what it looks like when society breaks down. And instead, in Moonfall, we get 90 seconds of society breaking down. Like we go from the doughy Ricky Gervais tweeting out his research to the entire world government has gone non-functional. And society is broken apart. That happens in a scene, you know?
Yeah. like the judge running out of the courthouse. Like, I just got to get home. Right. I got to beat traffic. You should try and beat traffic, too. Who cares about your kid in jail?
Yeah. And enough time passed that they were able to graffiti the space shuttle.
It's just sloppily constructed in those ways. And I found that disconcerting, and I didn't like it. And honestly, I was kind of primed to enjoy the asshole who wanted to sit next to me, notwithstanding. I was primed to enjoy Moonfall really on its own terms. Like, I was not there for great cinema. And instead, I just kept thinking, like, this, I don't know, does Roland Emmerich not know how to make movies anymore?
I don't know. I think there's been a marked decline in his quality of output. The Independence Day sequel was terrible.
Very bad.
Was he original Independence Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And Godzilla. The original Godzilla, which was not very good.
Matthew Broderick, Godzilla.
The big question here is what has been lost by him splitting from Dean Devlin.
I was going to mention Dean Devlin.
I think that is probably a big part. I don't know what Dean Devlin did. Was he a writer? There are three writer credits on this, and I think most of the problems with this movie are writing problems, right? I mean, you can just sign up to be on this ride or not, and I totally understand it if you don't, right? If you just say, you got to be fucking kidding me, the moon. When the moon, again, it comes down, so it begins scraping the top off of a mountain.
So close.
And so, I don't know, the moon is 12,000 feet above the Earth.
Because that's not like the Himalayas.
Right. No,
it's just a mountain in the Rockies.
It was Colorado.
And then from that position, the moon goes back up because its internal gyroscopes power, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But literally, the line where the two NASA physicists are talking with the...
Samuel Tarly,
whatever this idiot's name. I did not like him as a screen presence.
Oh, I like him.
No,
I think only Sonny and I liked him because we're still thinking of him as Samuel Tarly.
Me gusta. I did not like that. And he...
basically playing the same type of guy, too.
Yeah. So he, you know, his line of dialogue there is literally like, none of your old laws of physics apply anymore because we're dealing with megastructures.
Well, that's the way out. That's the way out for the script. See, now we can do whatever we want.
That's how you do
What's
it.
What's the line in Thank You for Smoking when Rob Lowe says, oh, don't worry, we just need the thing.
We just need a line of dialogue about oxygen scrubbers or something.
Right.
JBL, I'm surprised to hear you say that The Day After Tomorrow is your favorite Emmerich movie.
Why?
I'm a little bit surprised by that because A, Independence Day is his best, but B, also, like, I think just from a pure storytelling perspective, Stargate is actually his best.
Yeah, maybe it is. I saw Stargate in the theaters on opening weekend, was kind of underwhelmed by it and have never seen it since.
Okay.
Mm. So maybe it holds up, and maybe if I go back,
I saw it on DVD. And
I love that movie.
That's with Kurt Russell, right?
And, yep.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Kurt Russell and James Spader.
Yes. It's interesting. Yeah.
And Independence Day, look, I understand why people like it. There's a lot to like about Independence Day.
Including the absurdities of it.
Including the absurdities of it. I'm certain Bill Pullman is a lovely human being. I don't mean that I don't like him as a human being. I find Bill Pullman as a screen presence to be the equivalent of nails on chalkboard.
Really?
I can't you look at him. Sort of I can't
voice
hear him.
That whole thing.
I hate him. I hate him in everything.
Maybe you should see
I
while
see
you were
him.
Sleeping. Not that I've ever seen that movie, but maybe you should see him like that.
And I don't know. It's too much. You know what?
Interesting.
Anyway, the three best movies are
the movie that cemented Will Smith as like the greatest movie star of his generation.
I would say the three best Roland Emmerich movies are, in descending order, Day After Tomorrow, The Patriot, and then Independence Day.
The Patriot?
Yeah.
With Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson and Heath Ledger.
That was Roland Emmerich?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
You
I
like
that
Patriot.
Movie. Action and violence was A+. Duration, man. Ooh, boy.
It's a long
that
movie.
Was like, I felt like we were going in. I thought we were going into the War of 1812. It was so long.
I love that. I do really like The Patriot, even though it's like it's kind of
Jason
dumb
Isaac.
And
Jason
oh,
Isaac.
Oh yeah, Covington.
I mean, what it is it's American Braveheart. Yeah. It's just like American Revolution Braveheart, which is awesome.
Would you agree? For me, watching that movie, which was like it feels like it was 3 hours. The
Grape Shot.
Best. What was that?
Grape Shot.
Grape Shot. Yes. For me, the best action sequence of that movie was at the very beginning when he frees Heath Ledger from his captors, and he's got the boys aim small, miss small, and then he just goes tomahawk crazy.
Hatchets them all the
time.
That I mean, like,
is action
like,
and violence.
Say what you will about
A+,
Mel Gibson.
Plus.
Say what you will. There are a lot of things you can say about Mel Gibson. Yeah. We don't have to get into any of them. But one thing that he can do is play a murderous psychopath who does good work with a hatchet.
Yeah.
That is a thing that is right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. He handles that like totally believable. Like just the
passion. So that's my favorite. Okay. So I did not realize Roland Emmerich has made a Stonewall movie.
Yeah.
Is it a big budget spectacle where Stonewall has aliens invading, or is it just a bio about?
It's just an indie movie about the gay bar.
I was going to say, was it Stonewall Jackson or the Stonewall Riots?
No. So it's not a documentary though, right? It's historical fiction.
It's like an actual fiction film.
Documentary.
Interesting.
He also made Anonymous, which is the Shakespeare truther movie.
Oh wow!
Remember that.
He's going to have to make a lot more
like
of those
Joe
movies.
Sobran type of thing.
He's going to have to make a lot more of those movies after this. Nobody's going to let him have $100 million again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's Jody Bottom. Maybe Jody Bottom was taking this line from somebody else, but Jody Bottom always had a good line that was like, you know, a crank, because Crank has three theories. One is about like the gold standard. Mm-hmm. The other is about who killed Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And the third is who was the real author of Shakespeare's plays. Yeah. And like the fact that Roland Emmerich is a Shakespeare truther is like really tracks with basically everything else in his filmography.
That's interesting. Okay. Do we have any other thoughts on Moonfall?
I liked Moonfall.
No, you didn't.
Did you really? I enjoyed it.
That
I thought
was
it was.
Ridiculous.
I had fun in the theater watching it without a crazy person sitting on top of me and without Paul Crookston, doing his thing.
It was a lot of slurping and jamming. A lot of slurping and jamming. That's how I like it.
Paul, we're sorry. Your parents listen.
Yeah, I know.
Episode.
I know. And no, seriously, it was great to see it with Paul. It was the highlight of the movie for me.
Best
was
part
just,
of the movie,
just
right?
Just to see Paul. Yeah, it was absolutely. And then we went to TNR Cafe
I hope you bought
dinner. Oh, him and his lovely girlfriend.
Hey, did she come to the movie with you, or just to
know? Did she come to the movie?
No, she did not come to the movie.
Was she on the other side?
No, she.
While the slurping was happening,
she joined us later at the TNR Cafe. Okay,
still very funny to me that there's a TNR Cafe.
It is. It is. I had the Franklin Four Fries. Okay, Spirit of the Week corrections, shout outs, anything. I'd like to give a special.
What did you eat at the Palm?
I want a full breakdown. Order. I want a full breakdown of what you had to drink at the Palm this evening.
I got there early because you never know what time you get in, and I don't like to be late.
What time did you get there?
Before 6, so it was like 5 something. And so
5:10.
Were you there 30, by yourself?
Yeah, I went to the bar first because I got there early.
So you showed up there by yourself
of
early.
Of course. I don't plan to, but I don't want to be late.
People with their pictures on the wall are allowed to do that.
Yeah, Sunday. I don't want to be late. But I just sat at the bar, and I started with a couple old fashions, right?
A couple?
Yeah, well, you know. And then we moved to the table, and then I had, you know, then maybe I had the same old fashioned or another. I can't remember. And then after that, switched over.
So we're at 3 old fashions,
yeah, something
which
like
is probably
two
about
2 or 3.
8 ounces of
something.
Bourbon.
Yeah.
8 to 9 ounces
makers,
of bourbon.
Makers,
let's say.
Makers. And then switched over to wine because I was having a steak. It was delicious.
What sort of steak did you
have? I had the 14-ounce New York strip, and it was really, really quite nice. Also had a half a dozen oysters. And also, we had some appetizers for the table, so some a little bit of...
Did you get the half and half?
No, did not. I had hash browns, cream spinach, there was some shrimp Bruno, which is the fried shrimp, and then there was some bacon that I had, the Nowesky bacon. You know, sharing it with everybody, it was nice. And then had the steak, and then there was some cheesecake, carrot cake, some chocolate cake, and I think we went to 3 or 4 bottles. I can't remember.
How many glasses of wine?
We opened up 3 or 4 bottles.
How many people were there?
And there were 4 people there?
No, like 6. So
you had
3
bottles of wine.
Of wine.
You
minimum.
Had 2 bottles of wine. You yeah, drank
kind
you
of drank, more than others maybe. I don't, it was very drinkable. It was
let's be honest,
readers
right.
are dying to know, and it was a Fremark Abbey Cabernet Sauvignon. And it was I'm a big fan of Fremark Abbey, one of the oldest wineries in California that won the Judgment of Paris, by the way, in 76. In any event, that's
what was your aperitif?
What dessert drink did you have?
I didn't have time. Yesterday's was Amaro, and not everybody likes that. It's a great digestif. If you're into the coffee thing, it's very bitter. It's bitter, but I like it. It's good for your stomach. I might have to have some now so I can have a good night's sleep. And then I had to hurry back. And then I hurried. Yes, that's right. And then I hurried back home in order to do the taping. And here I am. So
we're glad you made it.
Thank you. And I do want to give a shout out to my joke writing staff, Tim Rice, Josh Christensen, and Cole Karnick. Thank you guys.
Oh, that was very nice of you guys.
Working hard. Daily.
Step up for Vic.
Daily lotion. Come on, man. That's just gross. All right.
Very funny.
That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments. Tweet us at SunnyBunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Please tell your friends. Until next time. What do you got? You got anything? If you don't got anything, I got. But if you got, go.
I got something. But
go.
Can yours hold?
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
The next
Mine's
show.
Mine's an evergreen. Please
okay.
go ahead.
So first of all, the next show, the bonus show, is going to be Pam and Tommy.
Wow.
Which, boy, you need some daily lotion for that.
Hi-yo.
So I think I told you guys a few weeks ago that I was in process on the Lego Death Star.
Yes, yeah.
This is a build which has been 7 years in the making. I have finally completed it. It spanned 2 children, from my oldest to my youngest. It was begun under Flash and completed with G-Money. There's a problem.
What?
So I finished.
Is there a missing piece?
No. There are extra pieces. Now, Lego traditionally will give you
spares.
Some spares.
Yeah.
There's a lot of extra pieces. And I am looking this thing, and I can't figure out where they came from. Or what I missed, the instruction booklet is like 250 pages long.
Yeah, it's a big.
It's bound. It's so big.
Yes,
it's
bound.
How many pieces are there total?
6,000. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm looking at the sheer number and size of the leftover pieces, and I gotta believe that I have missed something enormous in there.
Did you forget to do a room?
I
when you look at it, does it look like there's something missing?
It does not. And I have gone through the instruction booklet once, not carefully. I sort of sped my way through it to see if it was clear that I'd missed anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is a problem with having two different subcontractors as, you know, working on the project over the course of half a decade. But part of me thinks maybe I have to take the whole thing apart and start over.
No, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what it is?
Start over again.
I'll tell you what it is. Those missing parts. Now there's a weakness that can go right into the core and just blow it up.
Use the force. I'm sure it's fine.